This is the Tom Likas Show.
Marriage in the 21st century makes no sense.
Now, from the New Normal Studios in Burbank.
Hey, don't do that.
Tom Likas.
Thank you for tuning into the Tom Likas Show. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, this is where you hear us live. Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific time, 6 p.m. Eastern time, 24/7 at tom.show. You can hear us on our free app. Get it at the App Store. Get it at Google Play. Or get it at TomEverywhere.com. That's TomEverywhere.com. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks for being part of the program. We appreciate it. Here we are together again. You and me. And a bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show, where we are joined by our friend, family law attorney Adam Sachs. Adam, good to see you.
Great to be here, Tom.
Adam, it's family law this week.
That's
what's going
right.
on?
Oh, Tom. You know, one of the things that you and I have always talked about is how, you know, they don't make them like they used to. It's not like grandma who, like, was really dedicated. And the relationships today are just rife with pitfalls everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's one disaster after another. Now, some of the more classic things that we've talked about are, for example, getting with a single mother, which I think is more or less the biggest mistake you can make. And then there are sorts of permutations on that theme and whatnot in different situations that get you into blended families, women that take medication, et cetera, et cetera. You're going to be hard-pressed to find someone who's really sane in the female sex. But, you know, this is an interesting one I want to talk about tonight, which is, I think, something that goes into the past and now very much today. You know, growing up, and I had a single mother, she, you know, I don't think she was being cruel to me or anything, but she was a feminist. And feminism has changed conceptually over the years. I think in the past, Tom, that you had said a few times that you were a feminist, but like in the classic sense.
Yeah. I am a feminist.
But like the 1960s, 1970s version.
I believe in equality.
Right. But one of the things that women were fighting for at one time, you know, going back 100 years, was the vote. And later on, there was more thing about being able to get degrees and to be able to work and all that sort of thing. You know, the reality of today's feminism is about hating men and lesbianism and all this other really, really negative Marxist crap. But the interesting thing is that women fought very hard for the right to work and to be able to, you know, have careers and not to be judged for not being mothers and all this other stuff. And what's fascinating is you have today something of a throwback. Now, you know, my grandmother talked to me years ago. And she was telling me that when she was a young woman or whatever, and, you know, the people got married relatively young in those days, but when she was a teenager and in her 20s, women talked about a guy who was a good provider. That's an interesting line, right? I mean, you wouldn't say that today. That's really strange, right? That kind of dated expression, you know, like,
yeah.
I love him because he's a good provider or something. I don't think a woman would say that. That's bizarre, you know? But at one time, you know, a lot of guys were drunks or goof-offs or whatever. And if a guy was stable and had a good, you know, a job and he was going to be able to protect you and the kids, he was a prince, you know. The whole idea of being in love and him being your best friend and fulfilling you and all that stuff, that came, I think, more recently. But you have feminism pushing women and saying you can get your own degree, you can work, you can have your own life. What's fascinating, Tom, and this is a killer in family court, a killer, is when a woman doesn't work. Now, who do women admire today more than anyone?
Kim Kardashian.
That's right. I didn't have to ask you twice.
Nope.
Why is that? And I've thought about that a lot because I think she's reprehensible, to be honest.
Because she does exactly what women dream of doing. Nothing. She does nothing and millions of dollars pour into her bank account.
Well,
and that is what most women dream of.
I think the dream is, not only that she does nothing, is she doesn't work. That's number one. She doesn't seem to work.
That's why I said she does nothing.
She's millions of dollars. She's married to a famous guy. And what does she do? She shops, right? She drives expensive cars. She has tons of clothes, right? I think that that's a woman's fantasy, primarily focused on not having to work and not having to make that effort. Now, what's interesting, and I've seen this especially among professional women, but this is, I think, pretty universal today. I meet a lot of women who are lawyers, for example, or judges or whatever involved in the legal system. And as much as they seem to, like, you know, have their career and they got it all going on, when you talk to them, they're actually pretty resentful. And especially if they have both, if they're married and they have children and they work, they're like, you know, I don't have a minute to myself, I'm exhausted, I'm working so hard. I mean, I really think that this thing that women have gotten has actually turned out to be a really negative thing for them in a lot of ways. And they say this thing about women having it all or whatever. I think that having it all is pretty much overrated. So anyway, when you go into family court, if you had, for example, your wife have kids and take some years off of working, or, you know, to raise the kids, or let's say your wife never worked, okay, and if your wife doesn't have skills, for example, like she doesn't have, like, I don't know, an accounting degree or something, the courts are very concerned about her, because now that you're getting divorced, she's going to be, like, doing what? Going right onto welfare. And they don't want her to be a burden on the government and the state, so they're going to stick it to you. And so it really makes a difference now. You have to get involved with a woman, whatever the story is, and maybe she takes some time off for having a baby. Women do, you know, maternity leave for 2 or 3 months. But overall, you really need to have a woman that has her own job and her own career, so that, as inevitably happens when you get separated and divorced, she's going to be able to stand on her own 2 feet, and she won't be expecting you to support her for the rest of her life. Don't forget, you know, alimony was supposed to be something that was, you know, to get the woman back on her feet. It was supposed to be, you know, okay, you get a divorce and she gets alimony for a year or two just to kind of get herself together, and then she looks for a job and then she's back on her feet and then you don't have to pay her alimony anymore. But we now have a situation where women get lifetime alimony. And in particular, if you have a long marriage, which is more than 10 years, if she never goes back to work and she never remarries, you could be getting hit with your alimony tax, essentially, for the rest of your life, which is manifestly unfair. It's insane, because it's not just fixing her. It's not just helping her. It's something that is making her in the position to be lazy, to not have to go to work, to think she's Kim Kardashian and stay home and spend your money that you're working hard for, going shopping on her new man and everything else that she wants, without having to work. It's crazy. Anyway, on that note, I have a guest tonight. What are we calling him?
We're calling him Eric.
Excellent. Let's have Eric on. Eric?
Yes.
Hey, how are you?
I'm well.
Now, I talked to you in the past couple of days, and I know you're going to hire me. You haven't hired me yet, but I really want to talk about your situation, and I want you to tell the boys what you did and what they should not do. Is the bottom line, right?
Absolutely.
So tell us.
I've been involved in a relationship for about 10 years now.
Okay.
And, you know, in the beginning, everything started all right. And about 3-4 months after we met, we both started partying heavily, you know, smoking a little weed.
Now, one thing, Eric, just 1 second.
Yeah.
Now, she's not a single mother, right?
She is not a single mother.
Good.
We are not married. We don't have any kids.
Okay. I'm just going down that. So you never married her. She's not a single mother, and you never had kids with her. So that's pretty smart. Did you use protection using condoms, like Tom says?
No. I guess I've been getting lucky, and I don't recommend it. But anyways,
all right. Well,
your
luck will run out eventually. But okay, let's just say that I'm glad you didn't have any kids with her. You didn't marry her. And she was not a single mother. So you've actually done pretty much everything not so bad. I wish you used a little birth control, but you've been fortunate. So that's good. So keep going.
Yeah. Well, for the last 7-8 years, we've had quite a bit of problems. You know, fighting like every other day. And, you know, I stay busy doing what I do. And I work. And she lives with me. But I really don't spend any time at home, and she complains. She wants to take this to the next level, and I'm obviously denying that to the very
end. All
right,
but so hold on one thing. So you moved her in, right?
I moved her in 8-9 years ago.
Wow, so you've been with her a long time.
I've been with her a long time.
8 years, 9 years, Tom.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it's not going well. It hasn't been going well for the last 8-9 years, to be honest with you. I've kind of just been holding out. And just recently, I kind of started pushing the issue like, hey, you know what? We need to go our own ways now.
All right, hold on. Before you get into that, this is kind of the topic. I don't know if you heard what I was saying originally.
Yeah.
But the thing that was the first thing that, you know, came to my attention when we spoke is that you're telling me that you support her, right?
Well, I don't give her any money, but yes, I pay the bills. I mean, I pay the rent,
and
I pay the mortgage.
But she doesn't work, right?
She does not work, no.
Okay, that's a killer.
Now,
now, seriously, this is fascinating. So she's been with you for 7 years, or 8 years, 9 years,
mm-hmm. yeah.
and she has never had a job. She's never worked that whole time.
Not for the last 7 years. She worked for the first year, and then she got fired, and ever since then, she lost motivation, even got
that depressed. Sounds awfully familiar to
yeah,
me.
Yeah, it's very classic.
Yeah,
very classic to get involved with a woman who has a job, and then she like loses it somehow in the first, you know, 6 months or year of your relationship and never gets another one, you know?
Exactly.
I think that's happened to our good friend Tom right here.
Yes, it did.
So just finish this thought now. So she didn't work all these years. What the hell does she do?
Kardashians.
Really?
Watching Bravo every day, all day. And I'm just sick of it, you know? And just recently, I kind of brought it to her attention. I'm like, I'm pretty much at the end of this. I'm planning on moving out. And then she throws all of a sudden, she starts doing homework and starts talking about palimony. I never heard of this.
All right, hold on. Hold
recently.
On. Eric, hold on, hold on. I love this. Okay, hold on. I just want to make sure we don't skip anything, okay?
Yeah.
So this is fascinating, okay? I have this this client, actually, it's a long story, but I have this client who's been doing a divorce for quite some time, and his wife loves to go to Disneyland. So she has like a season pass or something where you can go as much as you want or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And she just goes to Disneyland like multiple times a week, which is, I can't even believe that, okay? So yours is sitting around watching Bravo. That's lovely. And considering that she's not super duper educated and she doesn't have a career or a job, she found the complicated word palimony and somehow knows enough to know that when you finally got tired of her nonsense and you told her, look, you got to get your act together and move out of here. I don't think we need to stay together anymore, that she's going to somehow go after you for money, bottom line.
Exactly, bottom line.
I mean, can you tell us, what did she say to you? Like, how did she express that? It's unbelievable.
Well, every time we get into an argument, I tell her to take a hike, and she tells me, well, let me tell you, mother effer, ain't going to be that easy. Let me just tell you that I'm going to make your life a living hell, and if you want me out of here, I want a few $1,000s. And, you know, we're talking between $5,000 to $10,000 that she wants for her to pretty much leave my place and for her to have some reserves to start her own life.
So she literally is saying to you, I'm not going to leave unless you give me $10,000. I mean, she actually,
pretty much.
Did she say, like, how did she arrive at that amount?
In her mind, she figures, you know, I'm probably going to need maybe 6 months of living expenses, you know, so that she can survive, have money for food, maybe, you know, find somewhere to live. And, that's pretty much the excuse she's running with. And at this point, when I called you a couple of days ago, it's because we had a big argument that morning, and I'm honestly just seriously thinking giving her the money, but I don't want to continue to be taken for money, so I was trying to kind of, you know, ask questions in regards to what I can do to better protect myself, or if I did give her any money, then maybe, you know, she can come after me in the future.
Right.
You know, just want to know a little more about that.
You know what it is? I'm always amazed when I hear cases like where the woman says, you know, if you break up with me, then I'm going to do X. You know, I'm going to say you raped me or something.
Yeah.
I mean, so what do you have then? That's not love. What do you have, like a threat? You know, like blackmail, like a hostage? You're going to keep someone in a relationship with, like, some kind of threat hanging over them?
Like that. Every time we get into an argument, let's just say she starts causing a scene, she starts crying, she starts, you know, getting loud. I don't like all that noise, so I kind of just bring it down. And, you know, I'll stay off the topic. I'll just ignore it as much as I can. And when she just gets to me, I blow up. And when I blow up, things get out of hand. And then at that point, she starts yelling. And a few times, the cops have showed up. And, you know, she's never went as far as pressing charges. But she's probably just a step away from that. And that's what I'm
saying. So you get into a fight and she calls the cops?
Well, either that or the neighbors will call the cops because she'll get so loud, and they see me. I'm a big dude. She's not that big. She's a tiny chick.
Unbelievable.
So they're assuming this guy's beating the shit out of her.
Oh,
and the cops
go
low.
I can tell you one thing, Eric. Seriously, you have to know this, and this is something the boys always have to remember. You know, they think that the cops are going to, like, talk it over. When you're the man, especially if you're bigger, when the cops come, you're going to be the one that gets arrested. There's no two ways about it, okay?
Yeah. Yep.
Never think that they're going to, like, you know, give both sides equal time or something. Bullshit, okay?
Yeah.
And, you know, if she's freaking out and you've had the cops at your house, I mean, Tom always says if your number is 911, right, that's your area code.
If you have 911 on speed dial,
that's time to go. Yeah, that's a bad sign. I don't feel too positive about a woman that calls the police on me. You know, that's pretty bad.
Yeah, yeah. And at this point, I'm just, you know, if giving her the money is an option, if I can assure myself that she's not going to be around, I'm considering giving her the money.
So, Tom, listen to this now. In order to get her out, theoretically, without going to court, without making a whole scene and getting her evicted and all this other stuff, and who knows what she's going to try to pull with palimony or whatever, she is literally telling him, give me $5,000 or $10,000
To go away.
I'll take that money, I'll start my life over, and you won't have to see me anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm trying to give the guy advice here. Do you take a deal like that? That sounds crazy.
No, I'd rather I'd rather give $10,000 to my attorney. Seriously.
What do you think of that?
That's what I would rather do.
That's why I'm going over my options to see, you know, what's the best way to go about this.
The wife who screwed around on me,
was
threatening to take me for everything I had.
Of course.
And I said, here's what I said to her: I would rather spend every penny I have.
Right.
On an attorney.
Then give it to you.
Give you anything. Because I'll make, you know, it's like the old potato chip commercial. Don't worry, I'll make more, you know. Fine. But I'm not going to give you, who fucked around on me, you will never get a penny.
Yeah.
Not ever. But my attorney will get every penny it takes to make sure you get nothing.
Did you ever see those scenes, like in the movies, when the guy blackmails someone and he pulls out the checkbook and he's like, what do you want, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he writes him a check for, like, I don't know, $50,000 or whatever.
Right.
And the guy goes away, right?
Right.
Buys his silence. I mean, I agree with you, the matter of principle and giving to the attorney, which certainly doesn't bother me, at least in theory. But, I mean, I don't know if this woman, if he gave her $5,000 or whatever, I really think, Tom, that she would spend that money pretty quick, and then she'd be back for something else next
month.
Right?
Right, but it's anytime you're blackmailed.
It's like paying off a bullet.
You know, if somebody says, you pay me $1,000 a month or I'm shutting your grocery store down, if you start paying, they're going to keep coming back for more. They're not going to take one payment. They're going to take payments until you take action.
All right, and it's going to be more, too, right?
More and more increasing amounts.
What do you think of that, Eric? I think Tom's right.
I think he's on it. I mean, you know, I wanted to hear it directly from you guys because you guys are the experts in this, and, you know, I think this is the best way to go about it. That, you know, how should I start? I mean, she's living with me.
Well, see, that's the other thing. You know, as you know, living with you, she's got rights. You know, at one time in the movies, you saw the wife throw the husband out, right? And his clothes, she'd be throwing his clothes out the window onto the porch or whatever, you know, onto the front lawn.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that. You can't just change the locks. Tom, you had that lady that wouldn't move out, right? Remember that story?
Right. That's right.
We've been through all this.
Yeah. I finally had to go to couples counseling with her, and she, delusional as she was, thought we were going to couples counseling to save our relationship.
Yeah, relationship, huh?
And imagine her shock when we got in that room, and here's how I did it. I went to the therapist by myself a couple of times and said, all right, I'm going to be bringing her in. Let's rehearse what we're going to do when she gets here.
I love that.
Okay. So by the time I bring her in, we're all seated in the office, and the therapist, who was wonderful, says, okay, folks, why are we here? And it's dead silent. And so she says, Tom, why don't we start with you? Why are we here? I said, we're here because I don't want to be in a relationship with her anymore. And I've told her that. Not just in a roundabout way or a coy way. I told her I don't want to be with her anymore, and she can't hear me. So I wanted to make sure she heard it,
man.
I wanted to be here with a third party who could hear what I'm saying and then make sure she understands what I'm saying. So I'm being very specific. See that chick over there sitting in the other chair? I want her out. I don't want to live with her. I don't love her, and I don't want to be in this relationship.
Pretty specific.
Anymore. And so the therapist says, okay, whatever your name is, what do you think about that? And she says, well, what about him? What about the things he does? And the therapist says to me, what's your reaction to that? And I said, my reaction to that is, this is not negotiable. We're not here to negotiate. We're here so she can hear what I'm saying. I don't want her in my house anymore. And she was totally in denial and just kept saying things about, what about the things I've done? What about the way I always am? the fact is, none of that shit mattered. And you know, it's what I always say, you know, stop me before I kill again. You know, if I am that bad, why are you still living in my house?
I ask that all the time, trust me, because I'll be honest with you. I take your advice and I treat women like shit. And shit,
except for letting them live in your house.
Yeah. Eric, seriously, are you really serious?
No, I really do. I treat them like shit.
Live in your place.
You're not necessarily following the advice, Eric.
No, I know. I dropped the ball.
So, in general, when we talk, and I'm a lawyer, I try to get a legal, you know, solution. What's your thinking? Are you really leaning towards paying her off or something like that?
That was an option. You know, obviously, talking to you is another option in regards to, you know, how do I handle it? Do I start with an eviction? Do I start with a restraining order?
Yeah, of course.
Let me jump in and ask a question here.
Sure.
By the way, the first time I ever came to Los Angeles was in the late 70s.
Right.
And it was when the original Palimony case was taking place between an actor named Lee Marvin, now deceased, and a woman named Michelle Triola, who called herself Michelle Triola Marvin.
Yep.
And she, when Lee Marvin wanted her out, she claimed that she had a promising singing career. And if I recall correctly, she was singing at like your local Holiday Inn. She was singing at like local hotel motels, local bars. And she gave up that lucrative career to take care of Lee Marvin's every need. And ultimately, the word Palimony was created by, like, tabloid newspapers who are covering the story. Because she was demanding money, even though they had never been married. And at that time, there were no laws in the state of California about living together. If you live with someone without papers, you didn't have any right to sue. And so this was going to set case law in California. But the reality of that case, even though the word Palimony came out, when that case was being adjudicated, it ended up, if I recall correctly, as just simply a settlement. Lee Marvin paid something like $100,000 to make her go away. So there was never any actual palimony at that time. There was no alimony paid.
That's right.
But then later on, I guess some of the stuff became codified in the law, didn't
it? Well, yes. She lost that case. It's called Marvin versus Marvin, and like you said, it was in the late 70s. I read it when I was in law school, and she lost. But Marvin did give her some payoff or whatever to settle. But broadly speaking, this is something that's based in contractual law. And it's kind of like what she said. She said not only, you know, she gave up her career, she was a very promising singer, which who knows what that means.
Yeah.
But she said that Marvin made certain promises to her. That's the important detail. That, in other words, he was a movie star. He was making a lot of money. She lived with him. And he told her, according to her, you know, give up your job. I'm going to take care of you for the rest of your life. I've got a ton of money. You don't have to worry, sweetie. Okay? And this is the key to palimony. Because, in other words, if you tell me that you're going to do something for me and I rely on that and then you, you know, screw me over with the promise, there may be a remedy there. What ends up happening in the palimony cases, and believe it or not, Tom, there are actually attorneys who specialize in doing this here in California and elsewhere, is, you know, you have the kind of relationship you have today where people don't get married, which I think in Marvin's time it was a little less, you know, common in those days. But, you know, now you have people that don't get married, like Eric. And, you know, Eric probably didn't say this to her, but she will come up with this, that Eric promised me after 8 years that he'll always take care of me. You see, Eric? You see her doing that?
Yeah.
I mean, she's crazy, right? What the hell, right?
Yeah, so, I mean, she's definitely out of bounds. What she's asking for is unreasonable.
Yeah, but she believes it. That's the worst part. And she's going to say, look, I had a lot of business opportunities, and Eric told me not to follow them because I was taking care of him.
And God knows, Eric, if you had a child, she'd be saying, you know, I raised his kids, blah, blah. But even in the situation that you have where you don't have kids, she is someone that the judge is going to look at and say, this woman is a complete loser. Okay, does she doesn't have any college degree or any real skills, right?
No.
See? So the bottom line is going to be that if she leaves your place and you don't give her money, she's going to end up on welfare. So she's right. going to be a burden to the state. And don't forget, the judge works for the state, okay? So one way or another, the judge is going to say, either I stick it to this guy, Eric, or it's going to be on the government to pay for her. So he'd rather stick it to you. Mm-hmm. Now, it could be remedial. It would be theoretically you giving her palimony or whatever for 2 years, let's say, to get her back into school or to get her to get a job or help her get a new place. But that never ends up happening. What ends up happening is it ends up going on, unfortunately, much longer. And that's when we talked about these people getting lifetime alimony or whatever. I mean, it's always crazy. It's always out of proportions. And if she thinks she's Kim Kardashian and she's not working, in 2 years of being alone, why is she going to start working? She's going to do the same stupid crap that she's doing now. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've talked to people on the phone who tell me, oh, I don't work. Women say that all the time. As a man, you growing up, you know you have to have a job. You know you have to support yourself and maybe a family and a wife. But women are not thinking that way. You know, when a woman works very often, she has a husband, her money is mad money. So she has her husband's money, that's the family money. She happily sees him pay the mortgage. But if she gets a job, part-time, full-time, or anything else, she spends her money on crap because mm-hmm. she thinks that this is her, you know, discretionary mad money to spend any way she wants. It's amazing because she instinctively spends her husband's money and she feels that she has a right to that money. But then it's this kind of craziness of your friend there who, you know, she thinks that somehow you owe it to her. Why exactly is that? I mean, seriously. And, you know, as we talk about the rights, the fact that you let her move in and she lives with you for so long, you can't just change the locks, you know? We've got to get a restraining order, which means that there has to be some kind of threats of violence or something. And if not that, literally, if it's your apartment or your house, you have to go through the eviction process and have her, and you know, it's called unlawful detainer, and have her thrown out of the place. Now, you think that's going to make her walk away and find a job and rehabilitate herself? Nonsense. If she's crazy, she's always going to be crazy. So, I mean, you know, we're going to work on this, Eric, but I think I want you to talk to the boys. What would you tell the guys, you know, in this situation not to get into it, right?
Absolutely not. Don't do it. Keep on having a good time. I mean, you know, I'm in my late 30s, and I've enjoyed most of my life, and I've always just, you know, made my money and traveled and done everything I wanted to do. But these last 10 years, no bullshit, they've been out, man.
But how did it happen? How did she start living with you? It's unbelievable. You make it almost sound like it was like it just like accidentally happened. Was it gradual?
No, I dropped the ball. I dropped the ball, man. I started partying with her. I had my own place. I had a nice place where she was living at. It wasn't all that great. And little by little, she would come over, spend the night, you know. And one night turned into two nights, three nights a week, a month, and then here we are now after so many years.
And this is what you had. You had drinking in common. Is that it?
Drinking, smoking weed, and a little bit extra stuff. Just having a good time, you know, and got out of control.
I mean, was it like hot sex at one time? Or you guys, is she like a hot little number? I mean, what's the deal?
Yeah, no, she's a pretty hot, she's a hottie, but, you know, it's beyond that, man. At this point, it's just not worth the daily stress that I deal with every day. You know, I honestly,
yeah,
I don't want to go home. I work my ass off.
How many times have we talked about that, Tom?
Of course.
We always talk about guys like, you know, driving around town or going to a sports bar or anything to have to go, you know, not to have to go home directly.
Anything not to go home.
That's not so good.
Yeah.
But and you said that in all these years, you never, and she never both used birth control. You've just been lucky.
I guess so, yeah.
Well,
I've never really used birth control.
That is crazy. And I got to tell you, her last licks right now, you better be careful, okay? I've seen many a guy breaking up with a woman, finally making the big break after years like you, and, you know, let's have sex one last time and gets her pregnant, okay?
I'll bet he's still having sex with her.
You're not having sex with her, are you?
Actually, I gave her some like 2 nights ago.
There we go.
Yeah.
Without protection?
I want to get rid of her, but I want to have sex with her.
Dude, that's not getting rid of her. What's going on?
I guess it's just, you know, she's there, and I got to take care of business every now and then, you know? And
why do you have to be monogamous?
Well, you know, I try to look for ways to kind of do my thing, but, you know, it's just too much of a challenge right now, and my work, it just consumes me, and I really don't put time on going out and having that much of a good time on
the
side.
If a stray cat came to your front door, would you feed it?
No.
Why not?
Because I know it's not coming back.
It'll never stop coming back. You know, when you have sex with a woman, it's pretty much the same thing.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I've been dropping the ball.
Two days ago, and unprotected.
And why do you have unprotected sex,
This is crazy.
I gotta know.
No, I have no excuse.
But what is there a reason you like it that way? What?
Oh, well, yeah, obviously it feels better that way, but it's still no excuse. I have no excuse for that.
What do you think will happen if she gets pregnant?
Oh, just the worst possible time right now.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah, you know, it drops a bigger bomb on the existing bomb.
All right. So what makes you think that she won't get pregnant?
I'm rolling the dice, and it's not a good idea.
You're rolling the dice in so many ways.
Yeah.
Do you love yourself?
I do.
If you did, you wouldn't hurt yourself.
Yeah. I agree, Tom.
So, if you're doing this right, you've had sex with her for the last time.
Yeah. I want to get to the end of this already. Yeah,
and you realize she could be pregnant right now.
Yeah.
Eric, that would turn everything upside down. Seriously, I don't know if you realize, everything that's going on now will be 10 trillion times worse if she has a baby. I mean, it's unspeakable, dude.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what to tell you. And listen, Tom's right also. Just having sex with her in terms of the whole psychological aspect of getting rid of her, that's not getting rid of her. Okay, that's making her more insane and more likely to hassle you and follow you and not leave you alone and all this other stuff. I mean, it's counterproductive in so many different ways. And I mean, you're telling her to get out. She's called the police on you. She's carrying on like an animal. She's blackmailing you, threatening you. She wants $10,000 to leave, and you're having sex with her and unprotected. It's suicide, dude. It's not going to end well. Okay, you gotta pull yourself together. That's all I can say. You are gonna call me in a couple of months. Oh my God, she won't leave, and now she's pregnant. And you're gonna hate your life. It's gonna be a nightmare. You got to do better than that. Come on, man.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
Really, you got to love yourself, man. You got to love yourself.
Tell me about this palimony situation. I mean, what's
scary?
The worst case scenario situation.
Dangerous.
I'm not married. I don't have any kids.
I understand.
I mean,
it's dangerous. What happens with palimony? Is you know one of these
yeah,
days?
It doesn't legally exist. Let's start with that.
Right. It's a made up concept. Okay. And like we said, Marvin lost the case. But the reality is, she is going to wander into a lawyer's office one of these days, and the lawyer is going to tell her, "Hey, what the hell? Let's give it a try." Okay. And it's based on contractual theory, which is, like I said, that she's going to claim that you promised her certain things. And particularly, you promised her that you were going to take care of her, that she would never have to work, and that you encouraged her not to work. So all of a sudden, she's going to say this baloney that she had job offers and she had potential. Just like the thing that Tom talked about where this woman said that she was going to be a singer or whatever. This woman's going to say that she had all this shit going on and you talked her out of it and ruined it for her, and now you're throwing her out in the street, and so you have to take care of her, okay? And the problem is that judges will fall for that, okay? Seriously. And you're going to end up paying her essentially alimony, except to a woman you were never married to, okay? And I mean, you think it's all, yeah, whatever, Let me tell you something, man. It's going to make you absolutely sick out of your mind. It's going to make you out of your mind to get your paycheck, and you're looking at it, and they've taken hundreds and thousands of dollars out of it to give to her, and it's going to go on for years and years. dude, there's nothing worth that. And you're saying, you know, having unprotected sex feels better? How's it going to feel when your money is being taken out of your wallet? What's that? That's the feels, right, Tom?
Of course.
That's the ultimate. How's that going to feel? We say, I want to feel. Yeah, you want to feel. This woman wants to feel your money, okay, dude? Please. That's crazy, Eric. Such a nice guy. This is like, the third or fourth time we've spoken. You sound like a decent guy. I wouldn't wish this on my worst enemy, okay? And like Tom has said in the past, you're driving at top speed straight into a brick wall, straight off a cliff. You've got to stop. Please. Please. And when you say you had sex with her yesterday or 2 days ago, that just boggles my mind. You got to stop, dude. Please. What can I say, Tom?
You're preaching to the choir over here. I mean, soon-to-be client is intentionally trying to self-destruct here.
Really, Eric, please don't take it as criticism. We're not trying to hurt you.
No, not at all, man.
I hope you feel that I've said what a good person I think you are. You got your whole life on going on there. You have so many women out there. There are so many great things to do. I mean, I've gone to so many cool places and countries, and Tom loves his wine and all these really great things you can do with your life. To get bogged down with this bitch who hates you already, who's going to destroy your life, can you imagine what kind of a shitty mother she's going to be, okay? Can you imagine? Yeah? And here you are having unprotected sex with her 2 days ago. Okay, you got to stop it. You got to knock off the nonsense, be an adult, and do what has to be done, which is getting rid of her expeditiously. And sitting there with her in your place for 8 or 9 years, it's hard to even accept. And to the boys out there, Eric is real. Please, please don't do this nonsense. It's crazy. Don't move them in. And if they're stupid and they're lazy and they don't work and they don't develop their own lives, that is not wife material. That is not girlfriend material. Get rid of her, okay?
Yep. That's absolutely correct. And thank you for the advice. Let me ask you guys this.
Thanks for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, one quick question, guys.
Sure.
Let's just say we proceed on this eviction when they can't get near you again. I'm sorry, what is that called again?
Restraining order.
Yes.
Yeah. Highly effective.
What is to say that in the future, say, even if I do that, can she still come back after me with palimony?
Yeah, she can. Yeah, I think she can. I think that it'll be very much diminished. I think if you get a restraining order against her and she comes after you for palimony, I'm going to tell the judge, are you kidding? He's got a restraining order in place. He had to throw her out, and now she wants palimony. It's like she's coming to court with unclean hands. But if you don't do anything and she comes in for palimony, she walks in, believe me, she's going to come in like a little virgin talking about how you screwed her over and how she trusted you and how much she loved you and how devoted she was and how you convinced her not to work and that she always wanted to work and you wouldn't let her. And so now she's desperate and you've left her penniless. Okay? Ta-da. It's not going to go well for you.
All right, Eric, good luck. Thanks for spending this time with us.
Thanks,
on the show.
Thanks, Eric. I really appreciate it, pal.
All right, now, if you want to talk to our guest, family law attorney Adam Sachs, if you've got questions about divorce, about alimony or vaginamony, as we call it, child support, prenups, postnups, all of that stuff, even restraining orders, Adam will answer your questions right now at 901-3000-TOM, 901-3000-866. Adam, here's a fun fact. I'm going to ask you a question.
Okay.
That you can't answer. Michelle Triola, who was Lee Marvin's girlfriend for all those years and then sued him unsuccessfully, she worked for another celebrity who eventually she enticed into an extramarital affair. Who was it?
Oh, dear. I can't.
While she was suing Lee Marvin, she was having an affair
with
this guy who was married for many years and had several kids.
Casey Kasem.
No. All right, we're going to tell you who that was coming up next.
Don't let your smartphone be a dumbass. Download the Tom Likas app now. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
Yeah, That's the Tom Likas Show. At 901-3000, Tom, the bonus hour with family law attorney Adam Sachs. 901-3000-866. Well, if I ask a trivia question, what are the listeners doing tweeting the answer to Adam? Seriously. Unbelievable.
Well, there's people trying to help me out.
Yeah, well, I understand that, but... You know, the idea was, it's called a tease. The idea of a tease is to get people to keep listening. Like that day years ago, I said that I had the cure for ED coming up.
YG.
YG, yes. So you waited at 2 hours, 15 minutes to hear YG.
You kept mentioning it in each break.
It's coming up. And it was coming up.
Now, if she sued Lee Marvin, okay... The next actor who got involved with her must have been an idiot, okay? I'm sorry.
And unlike Lee Marvin, the next guy she got involved with was married with multiple children, and it was Dick Van Dyke.
Unbelievable. He should have known better. Can you imagine?
You would think.
So she's just a star fucker. I mean, she must have been unbelievable in the fellatiatic arts, Tom.
Well, yeah, that day... First of all, she wasn't that much of a looker.
Really?
I don't think so.
Oh, I think it's even worse.
You think she was hot?
I don't know. I can't imagine what she looks like.
You've never seen Michelle Triola-Marvin? Come on.
No, not really. Post her in your thing, man. I need to see her.
Yeah, she, not a looker.
I'm always very surprised by this. I was in court today, and I did this case.
Wait, you got to look. Yes, there she is.
All right. Well, maybe it's like a 1970s thing.
No. That ugly is ugly.
All right. Well, I don't know. She got a lot of famous guys somehow.
Hell. Like I say, I think she, like you just said, she's blowing her way to the top. That's what she was doing.
But I was in court today, and I'm doing this case, and I'm representing the wife, actually. And the husband comes in with his new girlfriend, okay? Now here he is putting the screws to his ex-wife, right? Doesn't the new girlfriend realize that she's going to be next? That if he does this to his last partner, he's going to do this to her sooner or later, right?
You would think.
Isn't that obvious?
Well.
Are you with a woman who's telling you, I cheated on my husband, I cheated on my boyfriend, I cheated on my last boyfriend, and you're thinking, well, she'll never cheat on me.
Right.
Well, you're an idiot. It's stupid.
Well, my old thing was, look, long as I'm getting my piece of the pie, I don't really care who else you're with.
I understand, but if she has a really bad history of suing ex-husbands and ex-boyfriends.
Well, that's another thing.
It's like hiring someone that sues their employers all the time, right?
I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, well, so here she is sticking it to Lee Marvin, and Dick Van Dyke knows that it's famous. It's in all the TV shows and newspapers.
Yep.
And he gets involved with her anyway. I mean, isn't it just a matter of time until she's going to turn on him and sue him? Seems pretty obvious to me.
Till she becomes the human ottoman.
Well, she's the town bicycle. Everyone's had a ride.
And Dick trips over.
You can't make this stuff up, Tom.
Oh, I know. I never do. We got calls here for our friend, family law attorney Adam Sachs. Your questions at 901-3000-866. Let's say hi to Mike. Mike in San Diego. You're on the Tom Likas Show with Adam Sachs.
How you doing, Tom? Thank you for having me, Adam. Thank you for listening.
Thanks.
And, I'm here. I'm here in San Diego downtown in a little room that I'm running by the week. I'm going through a divorce. I got arrested and went to jail October 4th of 16 for working without a license as a contractor.
Uh-oh.
Really went after me, I guess, and made an example of me. I thought it was maybe a fine, but not jail.
Wow.
I had never been in trouble with the law. You know, traffic ticket. And she decided to file for divorce about 3 weeks later.
Well, let me tell you something. If you don't have a steady job, your wife is going to leave you. That's the bottom line.
Yeah.
There's no two ways about it.
In a place where I could have a job, yeah. So
when you get arrested for this thing with, like you say, doing contracting without a license... doesn't sound to me like you hired a lawyer, huh?
I did not. We went all the way through with the young, coming out of juvie kind of lawyer, gung-ho kind of kid, but still,
public defender?
It was set up from the beginning. Yeah.
Okay, well, let me just tell you, it's not great to be doing contracting without a license, but sure. I would have made sure that you didn't spend a day in jail, okay? I mean, that's just irresponsible. And, you know, whatever your freedom is worth to you and having a criminal record, you know, you should have spent some money on a lawyer, for God's sake. Right?
I totally agree. Totally agree. And it was something that we kind of wanted to hold on to. We were looking to an attorney. We talked, I forget her name now. She's an XDA.
You don't hire a woman lawyer, okay? Please. All right? Come on. Be realistic, yeah. Okay? But the bottom line is you didn't hire her anyway. You just went in with, you went in naked.
She basically said at that point, she's like, we're giving you 3 months. Just go ahead and take it. Might as well.
I mean, you called her at the end of the case? I mean, what are we talking about here?
Basically, just before accepting the deal.
People call me the day before the last court hearing. I'm not going to be able to do too much either, okay?
Yeah, but she it was a couple of days before.
Okay,
so
well, that's crazy
that,
all around.
I serve my time. I get out on the 4th. I get served on the 23rd of December.
Yeah, true love.
What's that?
That's not true love, I would say, that your wife
immediately served you.
She didn't exactly stand by you, right?
I'm sorry?
She didn't really stand by you, let's say.
No. I just didn't think she would ever... I guess nobody ever thinks you're that guy, but I was that guy. You know, I was really naive, and I just believed that she would never be that woman. We were together 22 years. So.
22 years, wow. Six kids?
Six kids, and I started young.
Jesus,
so I'm 44. We have a 22-year-old all the way down to a 10-year-old.
Well, six is crazy, man. That is nuts.
Well... So that happened, got out of jail, not knowing what to do. Like I said, I'm in here by the week, got a couple of business license so I could do, you know, handyman type work up to my limit.
Okay.
I got restitution at the Yin Yang, like over 140,000.
So what did you do jobs that didn't go right or something?
They were on the same cul-de-sac. So I completed 4 of those jobs. And the remaining 6 basically were this one lady that started the whole domino effect. She found out that I didn't have a license, said, I want all my money back. I'm like, how can I do that? I already did so much XYZ work.
Right.
I was getting paid in installments.
Right.
This other guy's like, yeah, I want my money back too. I'm like, dude, I already poured a truck and a half of mud, of concrete stamped.
Right.
Like, what do you mean all your money back? Why? There's nothing wrong with your concrete.
I know. I wish that you just get a license, for God's sake. It's crazy.
Yeah. Well, they said that because I didn't have a license, that I should have never been working at their house. That was their defense. And the reason that they were giving me these felonies were they were basically giving me a residential burglary because it was over $950. They don't know I have a license. I do know that I don't have a license, and it's residential burglary out of this twisted way they move the law.
So. Crazy. Crazy. All right. Well, anyway, so the bottom line is that your wife, she's filed for divorce? That's the story?
She filed for divorce in jail. We just had a mediation for custody on Monday, so yesterday.
Yeah.
I don't know what kind of mom she is because I don't understand. I don't even know her anymore, really.
Yeah, but I mean, you were with her for more than 20 years. Come on.
Custody of 2.
What?
Sorry. Yeah, dude. Well, mom does that, but I'm happy. I'm great.
Wait. So she's suggesting that you just take custody of 2 of the kids, the 2 young ones?
Yes.
Great.
Yeah, 2 middle ones.
So do that. No.
Don't do that.
Do it.
Oh, yeah. No, it's done. I mean, we already basically signed the papers on April 4th of this year. We're going with a judge, and he's going to hit the gavel.
All right.
Now, what I'm fighting for at this point is for my youngest, my 10-year-old, super attached to me. I mean, I would work my schedule around, you know, her school so I could go pick her up and she'll hang out at the job site with me or whatever.
Yeah.
And she goes to the laundromat now that she's in the apartment and lost the house for 3 hours and then goes, she's just not a their mom. And I've always known that, but I filled in the gaps, for my kids. They're my everything. They're my weakness and they're my strength.
Yeah.
So we're going to fight on that, I guess. She's going to recommend the mediator as far as, I was willing to even say, just give me 50-50.
I say that if she is giving you the other two middle kids, you know, you don't want to tear them away from the younger kid. You know, that might be a good point
and
for
that,
you.
That was my argument. And actually, the mediator said the same thing. She's you could have this thing.
Ultimately, it's not up to the mediator, okay? And the other thing I got to tell you is going back to your original case, which was this case with the contractor problem, you got to get yourself a lawyer, okay? You got to stop kidding around. Your case is not going to be that disastrous. I mean, it sounds to me like you don't have a lot of money. And, you know, if you had a higher...
I'm getting back on my feet.
No, I know that. But that's, believe it or not, that's a good thing when you're getting divorced. Because she can't hit you for alimony and child support and all this other stuff because you don't have a lot of money. If you were doing great, she could suck you dry. But at the same time, you know, you have this really bad instinct where you went to court on your criminal case without a lawyer, and now you're doing your family law case without a lawyer, okay? And this is your children. This is like a serious thing. So you got to get yourself straight. You got to stop kidding around with this. It's not going to go the way you want. She's obviously screwed up. She's weak. She wants to get rid of the kids. She's willing to give you the two little ones. I mean, you have a real opportunity.
She missed her childhood, she says. She's always trying to say in the last few years.
Let her tell her therapist, okay? The point is that you have an opening here that you could turn this around. You could get all the kids. You could sue her for child support and start your life again without the bitch. But you got to do it carefully. Real. Otherwise, it's going to go against you. And are you listening? Listen a second. You keep going to court without a lawyer. You got to stop doing that.
No, and like I said, Mike, big shout out to Mike Reese. He actually led me onto your show today.
Oh, thanks.
So he's listening right now. He's like, dude, you need a lawyer. You need a lawyer. So we were talking last night, and then thank God that this show came on, and it was the stars aligned. But so here she's got her taxes, you know, 7 G's. I don't know whatever it is. She has all my stuff, smart TVs, computers, sold or gave away all my tools. I'm like, dude, I'm borrowing a friend's truck to go to work. Can you help me out with that? Give me a loan. I mean, damn it. I feel like I'm begging her for crumbs.
Listen, she's not your friend. She's not your friend. You know, you've been with her. This happens to a lot of guys. You know, you've been with her for 20 years. And, you know, old habits die hard. So, it's like your mom. Like, you know, you're used to sort of, you know, skinning your knee and crying and your mom gives you a Band-Aid, you know? Here, you've got a woman who you're used to going to when you have problems and she used to love you. But the bottom line is that she is your enemy now. She's not your friend. So you go to her and say, oh, hey, you know, try to understand my situation. Can't you loan me some money? You know, you got to help me out here. It's like asking her to make you a sandwich. You know, she's not going to help you out.
I'll give you $7.50 if you sign a paper right now. Yeah. But if not, then forget about it. I won't give you anything.
Yeah, but that's not the talk of someone who loves you. Okay.
No, she told me already that she didn't, so I made peace with that.
Yeah, so why are you going to her and asking for a freaking loan? Forget it.
Well, yeah, no, for real. I'm thinking a loan so she doesn't think that it's anything that has to do with any kind of bullshit.
I understand, but you're asking the wrong person. Okay?
Yeah.
Seriously, you'd be better off asking a stranger, okay? She is not your friend. I know that, you know, like I said, old habits die hard. So you're used to sort of, you know, talking to her and, oh, honey, come on. And, what am I going to do? And, you know, she helps you out and rubs your shoulders, you know? That feeling, that experience that you have of your wife loving you and comforting you, you know, that's something that you're used to. And I'm sorry to tell you, you got to get unused to it because now she hates you and she's your adversary. I mean, she wasn't very kind to you. You were going to jail. And instead of sticking by you, she filed for divorce during that time. How many guys?
Dude, my church gave her like over 2 G's for the apartment. Friends gave her over 4 G's. She didn't give me $5 for my books. I would still call the kids and her every single day till she decided not to answer the phone anymore. Uh-huh. And I was like reading scripture and the Bible and, you know, let's see about marriage up to a point. I'm like, you know, I just can't continue doing this. And then 2 weeks later, I get served with divorce papers.
Okay. I hope that you take the lesson from that. You know, we heard about this guy, you know, who had as the guest at the beginning of this hour, who's talking about his girlfriend calling the police on him multiple times.
Crazy.
I mean, if a woman calls the police on you, that's it. You're not friends anymore. It's like kiss my ass. I don't ever want to talk to you again.
That's the bottom line. When you talk about your situation, it's the same thing. If you're in this situation and she's doing this to you, she's not your friend, you should not be talking to her, you should be thinking of protecting yourself against her. Okay? That's the bottom line. And you've got to be thinking about your life without her, getting custody of the kids, sticking it to her for child support, making sure you get the youngest child, and the only way you can do it right, like I said, is doing it properly in court with a lawyer, okay? So you got to start thinking about yourself and protecting yourself. That's the bottom line, okay?
Okay.
Don't forget.
And I hear you, like I said, I mean, whatever, 2 months out of jail, getting myself, you know, on board, borrowing a friend's truck, I don't have the resources. I don't have the thing that I had October 3rd of last year, you know, when I had the house in Ojai Ranch.
It's crazy.
When I had all my tools.
What's done is done, you know?
Yeah. So, like, at this point, what do you recommend? I mean, as far as me going in there, obviously, to represent myself, it's something that I did with my first wife and with a child custody, whatever, and each and every time at a young age, because we were only married for a few, maybe 2 years, I would win, and I would win, and I would win. It was so funny that I was winning so much that I would actually tell her, like, you know what, just
life has said
winning
that,
so
you know?
You were winning so much, you get tired of winning.
I said to myself, but like I said, I got custody of these two little girls.
The bottom line is that, you know, life goes both ways. You know, you do well, and then you have setbacks sometimes. This thing that you see the movie Rocky, where his life just gets better and better and better, is not realistic. You take 2 steps forward, and sometimes you take 2 steps back. And so I'm sorry that everything hasn't worked out for you lately. You're going to get back on track, but you got to stop doing stupid shit. Okay? That's the theme here, okay? And this woman is out to ruin you, so stay the hell away from her, please.
Okay. All right, so any recommendations as far as
Suggest you give me a call offline. We'll talk privately. And please get yourself a lawyer, okay?
All right, I'll hook you up. Dean will hook you up with Adam.
Jesus, we'll make that happen. Jesus, Tom.
Getting a headache over here.
It's heavy stuff, man.
Jesus.
Can you imagine?
Unbelievable. Coming up next, we'll tell you how you can get in touch with Adam, and you'll start unwinding your own problems.
Don't let your smartphone be a dumbass. Download the Tom Likas app now. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
It's the Tom Likas Show from the New Normal Studios in Burbank. Well, I told you on this edition of the Tom Likas Show, we have sold 16 tickets to our Dodger game. The big game from the luxury suite, the Dodgers and their arch rivals, the San Francisco Giants. And that means we've only got 50 tickets left, and we've got 5 months to go before our big event, Sunday, July 30th, 1:05 p.m. in L.A. at Dodger Stadium. Join us at the game. Get the details. Go to p1dodgers.com and get your details right now. It's p1dodgers.com.
By the way, Tom, I'm one of the 16.
You're two of the 16.
Oh, that's right. 2 tickets. I didn't even think of that.
That's exactly right.
I'm going to be there for sure.
Adam, how do people get in touch with you?
Well, you see me at the Dodger game, of course.
Of course.
Or you can call me.
Yeah.
Toll free, 1-800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. Check me out online and Facebook and also on my website at www.adamlawyer.com. And you can send me an email, which I love, and I answer personally, adam@adamlawyer.com.
We have one more call here. We're going to take Clay.
All right.
Clay in Chicago. Say hi to Adam Sachs.
Hey, good evening. How you all doing?
Hey, Clay, what's up?
Good. I'm hanging in there. Listen, I have an issue that my attorney told me I need to speak to a family law attorney, not that who better than the Hebrew hammer.
All right. Thank you.
So the issue there is I'm doing everything right. I like this 101. I'm not married, don't have any kids, don't plan on it. But I have a business partner who's 50% owner.
Okay.
And he told me not long ago that he wants to get married one day. So my question to you is, how do I protect the assets of the business in case that he does something stupid, take too many pills, get married, divorce?
That's a serious problem.
Well, I mean, the fact that he's talking about someday getting married is pretty vague. I mean, it would be a lot worse if he had the woman already selected and he had a date set up, right? So it's
right.
Not the end of the world. You know that when you get married, it doesn't mean that all your property becomes half hers. So, for example, if you already own a house, or if you already own a car, or if you already own a business, like you do with him, and he gets married, that doesn't automatically make her share half of his share, okay? Because that was premarital property. That would still be, you know, just his. But what ends up happening during a marriage, once they do get married, for example, that the business goes up in value, or she contributes financially or otherwise to the business in some way, or whatever. And, you know, then when they get divorced, obviously, it's very natural. Whatever the story is, she's going to make a claim on the business. And this could be a nightmare for you, right? Because some random bitch you have nothing to do with essentially is trying to be your partner, right?
Exactly.
That's terrible. And, you know, people have definitely made strange bedfellows, you know. I've seen examples, you know, really strange, where not even a divorce, but the husband marries a woman, you know, this guy marries a woman, and he has a business with other people, and he dies, literally dies. And she ends up inheriting his share of this business, right? And then all of a sudden, you know, she, who knows nothing about business, is showing up and telling the other people what to do. Or obstructing the business or making things difficult, you know? And you obviously are concerned that somehow this partner of yours is going to hook up with somebody and screw things up for you. So you got to be really careful. You know, it might not be a bad idea to structure your business very carefully. For example, as a corporation rather than a partnership. I don't know how you have it now. And you might want to put things in the bylaws and in the aspects of stock ownership and so forth. What happens in case of death? Or somebody who resigns or whatever. Now, where do those shares go? Maybe they should go back to the business, or maybe they should go to you, or maybe they should be, you know, distributed to her perhaps, but only for equity, that she owns money, but she doesn't ever have a voting right where she can start bossing you around or giving you a hard time in the business itself. So these are all different aspects that you have to think about. And, you know, he may also be very wise, as Tom has always taught us, to get a prenuptial agreement. I mean, if he's already an older guy and he's established a business and he owns other property and whatnot, if he marries some random woman who, I don't know what assets she has, maybe she's broke or whatever, but even if she's not, maybe he makes a prenuptial agreement that no matter what happens, she doesn't get an interest in the business, you know, out of his concern for you. And you have got to talk, you know, to him honestly and openly about this. This is not something that you want to start working out after it's already happened and it's a catastrophe. I think it's a big deal that you do to the situation right away, especially if he's talking about getting married soon, which I think you said he wasn't. But whatever the deal is, this is something that people have got to talk about openly, you know, in advance with these people, and, you know, with your partners, with the other people that you know, and say, look, you know, dad or my partner or whoever you are, if you're going to get married, I want you to make sure that I'm protected. I want you to make a prenuptial agreement. I want you to do, you know, the stock transfer plan or whatever, so that we don't have to have a catastrophe when the death comes or the divorce comes and absolutely no one's prepared for it. You see?
So we can only do the stock transfers if we have a corporation, not a partnership.
Well, that's a thought. A partnership, it's much more complex. A corporation, generally speaking, is just, you know, shares. But when you have a partnership, it's actually, you know, individual people, and it's specific to those people. But what I'm saying is, it's not just that. The whole point of it is that you're planning it. And you're thinking right. You're saying, what happens if this happens? And you need to discuss that with him, and you have to make a plan. You know, everyone knew, for example, that Steve Jobs was very sick, and he was the chairman of Apple. And so, you know, he had an important job, and he was, you know, dying, obviously. So they made a succession plan, which is, when this happens, what are we going to do? And they, you know, he died, and then they did it. And that's what you have to think about. You know, what's going to happen if you get married and then get divorced? Or what? You know, listen, he could think the same way about you. What if you die? What's going to happen to the partnership? And so you have got to always be thinking about these possibilities. And like we said, when you get married, you have to always think about the possibility of having a divorce. And the way that you do that is by having a prenuptial agreement, for example, and keeping the assets separate, for example, providing for your children or whatever.
Okay. And well, the reason why I was asking that is because, you know, he's Asian, very traditional.
Right.
So I don't know how that plays into the effect of, you know, prenups and that sort of thing. But I want to know, is there anything that I can do independently to protect the business? Like, you know, like I said, if he does too many pills or something like that, go crazy. And I want to make sure that, you know, like you said, some bitch ain't coming in and taking assets that we both worked hard for.
Right. So the bottom line is, you know, that's the problem. And you've got to think about that. I mean, that's that same thing you just described. For example, let's say getting married isn't even the point. What if he loses his mind? Then what happens? How does one partner get the other partner out of the business? You need to have a plan for this. That's what I'm trying to tell you. And when you're talking about small amounts of money, it's no big deal. But when you start talking about companies and assets, and I don't know how big your business is, you've got to take these things into consideration, because planning is crucial, because you don't want to be dealing with it after the catastrophe has happened. That's the key.
You're damn right about that. Well, I appreciate you, Adam, and Tom,
sure.
Love the show. Can you flush me?
You bet I can, Clay. Here it goes. All right, one more time, Adam. How can people get in touch with you?
Call me toll-free, 1-800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320.
All right, and if you missed any opportunity here to call and speak to Adam directly and live, he'll be back. He'll be back for another bonus hour coming up on Tuesday, 6 p.m. Pacific time, 9 p.m. Eastern time.
Coast to coast, around the world, and across the universe, this is the Tom Likas Show.
From the New Normal Newsroom, it's News for Guys. I'm Gary Zeno.
Yay.
In Scottsdale, Arizona, a woman who suspected her boyfriend was having an affair shot him seven times while he slept. Actually shot him in the penis.
Oh, shit. Thank God I don't live with the moon.
Your friend was rushed to the hospital with a gunshot wound to his penis, two gunshot wounds to his scrotum, and gunshot wounds to his neck, upper back, and left thigh. Your girl meant it.
And he's alive.
He's alive.
Is he alive or is he dead? I think he's alive.
I don't know if he's alive to ever fuck again, but he's alive. Della Flores, 53 years old, arrested and booked.
Oof.
That's attempted murder, my friend.
Attempted murder.
Could you imagine some crazy bitch chasing you and shooting you in the dick?
How about if you're asleep?
Right, there's nothing you can do.
There's a scene where Karen and Goodfellas sips a bud.
Yes,
Ray Liotta's character, Hendry Hill, puts the gun right at him. Well, he opens up his eyes and there she is.
Yeah. Armed with the search warrant, officers opened a closet at the home and found a 32-millimeter handgun box in a Victoria's Secret bag near the woman's clothing.
I guess inside, cops just found a recent receipt on the 16th in which she had purchased the firearm at a store in Glendale, Arizona. The receipt also showed she bought 32-caliber ammo, which was also found in the bag, and an empty box of 32-caliber ammunition shells there. Our girl, he didn't even know she could handle a gun.
Right.
Let alone fire it.
Mm.
But
point blank at his penis.
Well,
yeah.
At close range, right. And it still didn't work.
Well, it kind of worked. I mean, she got him at least once in the dick and a couple times in the scrotum.
I guess Delia... I mean, at one point, she might have been a smoke show.
Yes, she looks like at one point.
But that has probably gone south.
Yeah. Jesus Christ, poor bastard.
Oh, my God. This has to be a South Scottsdale thing.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. A new study shows the benefits of sex go way beyond feeling good. Apparently, having sex once a week is like the equivalent of a $50,000 raise for most people. That's how great it is.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's yeah. Anybody who's happy with their
Adam
sex life
with me.
Might not be shocked to hear that, but researchers wanted to pinpoint why exactly regular sex provides such a sense of well-being.
Yeah.
and it's because you're getting off.
Yeah, the endorphins.
Right.
And there it goes.
Bring it. Of course.
I'm a trillionaire, Dad.
Yeah. There's a bar down under. How you going?
Uh-oh.
Called the Maple Bar. It's in Canberra.
Yeah.
House rules. You are not allowed to approach a woman who's in there. You are not allowed.
Well, that, by the way, that's no problem with our friend from down under. They approach him.
You're also supposed to treat them with respect. If they do decide that they want to approach you, you have to treat them nicely.
Yeah, the motto, it's in, above the door there. It says, best manners and temperament are expected at all times. Leave your attitude with your hat at the door. Remember, nothing is on the house but the roof.
Yes. Gentlemen, don't approach ladies. And if you are so lucky to have one approach you, treat her as you would your mother. No hooting, no hollering. Be polite and approachable. But let the lady advance to you if she chooses. Right?
I'm sorry, but...
this is how they do down under, apparently.
Mm-hmm. Good night, Tom. How you going?
How you going? Not so well, really.
He just did three girls in the time we read this story.
And finally, women are 50 times more likely to orgasm if a dude just lasts a little longer. Right now, it takes a woman an average of 18 minutes to get there. 18 minutes. It takes a guy like five. So this article suggesting those numbing sprays. Apparently, very effective.
Mm-hmm.
The numbing sprays.
So are pills and cocaine.
Right. Well, there's a lot of different angles you could take.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, you need to, you know, stretch the time
a little
bit.
Longer.
Think of baseball. There's plenty more at newsforguys.com, of course. You can find our podcast at GaryandDino.com. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, we're back to the Tom Likas Show right after this.
This is the New Normal.
Archie.
No, that's a different lady.
Fuck me.